Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What if Mormons were mainstream and Christians were the fringe? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this very issue today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Back on October 19th, 2011, a writer for the San Diego City Beat, a man by the name of Edwin Decker, not to be confused with Ed Decker from Saints Alive, wrote a column called What If Mormons Were Mainstream and Christians the Fringe? Basically turning the tables and giving some of his arguments. Now again, this was an irreverent piece. It wasn't meant to respect Christians at all, and it really didn't even come out to respect Mormons, in my opinion. This man, obviously, I don't think has any religious beliefs whatsoever. But of course, he's an expert on the subject because he is able to write a column. And so he put forth his issues regarding all the controversy over the word cult and its being attached to The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He brings up an interesting word, Eric. He uses the word mormophobe. I think we need to talk about that, first of all, because, folks, this kind of language is really meant nothing more than to manipulate people who want to engage in a dialogue on this subject. To use words like that, obviously, are conversation quenchers.
It's kind of old now, Bill. I mean, like, we have, from the homosexual community, we have homophobe. I think that's really probably where it got its start. And any time boring that you disagree with somebody, all of a sudden, it's a phobia.
Right. And I think it needs to be brought out that a phobia is what? A fear. It's a fear. Now, we have to ask ourselves, is this word even relevant? Because I think most Christians that we talk to, and I would say that even those that have been criticized for categorizing Mormonism as a part of a cult, certainly don't have a fear of Latter-day Saints. I would probably say that most of them have a genuine concern for them, and that just happens to be a label that categorizes them theologically into a certain spot, so that others can understand the differences theologically, where they are coming from and where we as Bible-believing Christians are coming from. So to use the word mormophobe, I'm sure that probably Fair or Farms are going to start picking up on this because they're really good at using this type of rhetoric also. And it's meant, of course, to quench conversation. It really doesn't portray a truthful situation when it comes to the relationship between us as Bible-believing Christians and Latter-day Saints. Of course, to say anything derogatory is understood to be bigoted. That's the favorite word of choice nowadays, that if you disagree, you must be bigoted.
Well, why is that, Bill? Why do you think so many people, when they attack in such a way, when all we do is maybe disagree with their point of view? I think we're in an age, and this isn't just in the religious realm, but I think even the political, everywhere else, if you don't agree with me, then there's something hateful about you. And I don't think, well, why do we have to hold to that kind of a position? Why can't we just agree to disagree?
In my opinion, Eric, I think it's intellectual laziness. Maybe they're not prepared to discuss this subject on an intellectual level, and that's the kind of way of I don't have to engage. I hear it all the time, and you know me, if you want to press my button, then just say that I'm bigoted merely because I disagree. We had a person on our MRM Facebook actually do that, said, I repudiate hate. So I wrote her, and I said, how do you define hate? Well, needless to say, she never wrote back to give us an explanation of that. See, folks, this is too easy. It's too easy to throw those words out there. And as Christians, don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, certainly there are people that do hate, but first of all, get a definition of what that word means before you throw it out there. If it's just somebody who happens to disagree, then I would say that's not hatred. Do I think, for instance, that Mormons are bigoted because of some of the statements that their leaders have made in the past? And I actually posed that question on the MRM.org site. Because when you look at some of the statements that Brigham Young made or John Taylor made, they were really harsh statements using words like whoremasters and things like that, ignorant and very harsh language. We don't do that. We don't do that. But yet Mormon leaders did. So if you're a Latter-day Saint, be consistent, because if you think disagreeing with Mormonism makes one a bigot, then what do you do with Brigham Young? What do you do with John Taylor? For Pete's sake, what do you do with Bruce McConkie, who often was making these derogatory remarks against Christians and critics of Mormonism? Was McConkie bigoted as well? Be consistent.
We've had people on our website write emails back to us, and they're more LDS, and they have said to us, Bill, I don't agree with you, but I appreciate that you're not like a lot of other slights that are slandering the Mormon people. I think that's something we take, I don't know if you'd call it pride, but we want to make sure that the Mormon understands that we do care. And by using terms like, well, Mormophobe here, or anti-Mormon, or whatever other terms that we get called, we purposely go out of our way to lay out the evidence and let the Mormon decide, but we certainly don't hate them. If we hated them, that would be the worst thing we could do is to tell them the truth is actually the best thing we could ever possibly do, because telling them the truth is going to make it real. And reality says there's either heaven and hell or there's not. And we believe there is. We've laid it out. We believe that if you don't accept the true gospel of the Bible, then you're headed for hell. So we're going to do everything we can to keep you out of there.
Yeah. And I notice when Mormon missionaries come to my door, they merely want to share with me what they believe to be true, in the hope that I will exchange what I believe for something they feel is better. I understand that. I don't have a problem with that. Isn't that kind of our attitude as well? We're not like atheists that want to steal everything away from you and be as miserable as often they are. Right. We want to give something in exchange. And Christian, if you're out there just to poke holes in Mormonism without offering something to fill that vacuum, then I would say shame on you, because that should not be prime motive, I should say. It should be hopefully to give them something better that will give them a peace that passes all understanding.
Well, Bill, this guy, Edwin Decker, doesn't seem to know very much about either Christianity or Mormonism, but he says something here. What do you think about this? As much as Jeffries, Fisher, and those who share their views would like to separate Christianity from Mormonism, the fact is Mormons are Christians. This is not debatable.
Well, it is debatable, and that's been the debate ever since 1830. I mean, the Mormon Church came out swinging by what? Claiming this first vision, which of course we know really wasn't a part of Mormonism and for much of its early history, but many Mormons don't know that, and they do think it is, but it is a part of what they believe. And they do believe that Joseph Smith was supposedly visited by God the Father and Jesus Christ, and what was told to him? All the churches were wrong. All their creeds are an abomination. All their professors are corrupt. Now, is this gentleman who wrote this article going to defend against that? No, he just automatically makes this assumption, and it's amazing how all these people become experts on what is and what isn't Christianity. What does he do to define Christianity? He goes to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, for Pete's sake.
Which says
exactly what Chris Matthews did on the Hardball Show.
All the Merriam-Webster says is one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus. And, so I guess anybody who believes in the teachings of Jesus, and so therefore words have no meanings. I mean, if we're going to say that Muslims who do accept Jesus, are they Christians? Even atheists I know believe that Jesus' teachings are, he existed, and even would say he's a good moral teacher, but that doesn't make them Christian.
Well, even Thomas Jefferson had belief in the moral teachings of Jesus, okay? So what does that really mean? Again, the dictionary is not how Christians have always, it's not where we've always turned to define it. But quite basically, folks, a Christian is someone who is forgiven, that's a Christian.
And tell them where you get that idea from.
Well, I get that idea because that's one of the attributes that we find that all Christians share, is the forgiveness of sins. That's what makes us a Christian, a believer in the true Jesus of the Bible. And the argument over one who professes belief in the teachings of Jesus, well, that is, again, the debate, because we would say that there are a lot of teachings of not only Jesus, but the apostles themselves in the New Testament epistles, where the Mormon Church diverges. And that's a problem for us, because doctrine is very serious to us. It may not be very serious to some Latter-day Saints, but it is very serious to us as believers. So to use the Merriam Dictionary is a horrible way to define that.
Well, another argument he uses, Bill, is, and it sounds like maybe he's talking because their official name, he writes, is, in italics, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit their website, and the first thing you notice on the homepage is a giant image of Jesus servicing the destitute. I mean, what do you think about that argument? We get that a lot.
Oh, we do. But let me close this show with this, because there was an article written by Martha Beck. Now, Martha Beck was the daughter of Hugh Nibley, and she wrote a very controversial book called Leaving the Saints. Martha Beck's an interesting person, no doubt about it. I've read the book. Much of it's very highlighted, like other books I read. But Martha Beck made this comment, and I think she has a point. She said, bigotry aims judgment and devaluation at characteristics that are part of an individual's biological legacy. In other words, if a person is black and you don't like them because they're black, that could very well be bigotry, because that's something that this person cannot change.
That wasn't their choice.
Yeah, I'm white. I can't help that. That's the way my DNA is made up. I can't help that. So to dislike me because I'm white, that could be bigotry. That would be bigotry.
Absolutely.
But she makes out a distinction here. She says that we can be free of bigotry and religious prejudice and still be obligated to evaluate the belief systems embraced by candidates in this context, she uses. That's what we're doing. Mormonism is an ideology. Christianity is an ideology. They need to be discussed. They need to be debated, and we can't expect everybody to agree with the other side. That's what's so great about our humanity, is we can discuss these issues.
And we can't let our toes get stepped on. I mean, somebody disagrees with us doesn't mean they don't like us. It's just they disagree with our view.
Exactly. And Christian, please don't let the media manipulate you. Disagreement is not equated with bigotry. We should be able to discuss these issues. And if anybody comes up to you and says that we can't for being labeled, reject that kind of reasoning, because it's not to be embraced.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 in Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information, or call 602-788-8864.